cross sign in the way of the edifice. So this means the edifice that it is Josh, JP, my name is Josh, so we call him JP. So JP, you know, has some enjoyment. He's been reading his Bible this week, hopefully. He's been reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And he read his Bible and he maybe saw something, a little light, something he really enjoyed. And he doesn't just keep it to himself, but now he speaks it to us as the congregation. And maybe I might have read the same exact verse, but you know, I didn't see something that he saw. He saw a particular thing that maybe God spoke to him, or a revelation. And so I read the same verse, but he read the same verse, but he saw something, so he was able to share with me, and I saw a little something. But then maybe I read a passage as well, and I share with him. So we're helping each other build up. And in the Bible, it uses the word build, so we're building the church. But how we do this is by sharing with each other. So this is a practice that we like to do here, is to share with each other something we enjoy from the Bible, maybe something, just an experience. You know, maybe you had an experience on campus, or maybe your classmate, you know, you got to share the gospel. That's encouraging to us, you know, it helps us be encouraged of our daily living. I haven't had anyone do this before, but maybe you have a song that you write. Maybe you want to sing to us. I don't know. I've had someone psalm to me, not many psalmers. But psalming means you kind of like sing share. But yeah, I've only been to one church that ever did that before. But it's in the Bible, so if you want a psalm, you can psalm too. So this is a time that we like to just share. So I'm gonna get into a morning devotional that a lot of us went through. So if you have, if you want to get into that same morning devotional, please ask someone, whoever invited you, ask that person. And if that person doesn't know what it means, you're in tough luck. No, ask me. And we'll help you get a copy of the morning devotional. Actually, here it is, right here. I have it on my iPad. So it's called The Holy Word for Morning Revival. So it's all based on the scripture, and why it's called morning revival. So it's good to touch God in the morning or pray to God in the morning. I had a student that came to my house. He actually did a little experiment. He decided, I'm going to sleep in, and then I'm going to have time with God later in the afternoon at like 1 p.m. But he had been having time with God in the morning. And yet he told me, it's not the same. There's something particular about having time with God early in the morning before you start your day.
Right.
I'm guilty, man. I'm really guilty of this. You know, I wake up, I'm starting a business, so it's always on my mind. So very often, I wake up and then boom, first thing is I'm checking my news about the latest technology in my field and this and that. And then once you do that, man, you're almost shot your day. So it's really good to put your phone, put it away somewhere else. Maybe have this next to you. So you wake up and you're like, I should have morning revival with God. So this is something that we're going to get into. So we're going to get into this topic here. And so that's what we're going to do. So maybe what we could do to start is read some verses. So in the morning devotional, on the top part of it, there's a bunch of verses. And let's read the verses together. I'll read them out loud. So if you have a phone or if you have a physical Bible, even better. Don't see many physical Bibles. Amen. Just pull it up and we'll read them together. And hopefully when you read the verses, as we read the verses together, we'll see a little theme going throughout the verses. So the first verse that we're going to read today is Matthew 18:19. Matthew 18:19. All right, I think majority of us have it. How about we read it together? And it doesn't matter what version you have. Maybe the person next to you might have a different version, and they might sound different, but it's okay. Let's just read the verse together and enjoy the verse together. So Matthew 18:19. Let's go. Again,
truly I say to you, that is true of you, I am it will be done for them from my Father who is in the
heavens. Amen. The next verse we're going to read is Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1. 14. All right, looks like everyone got on their phones. Let's read it together. All right. Now we're going to be flipping to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And remember, try to pay attention and see if you can notice a theme. There's a theme going out through these verses. So Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. Let's read it together. Alright, so next verse, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 46. All right. So here's some flipping. Amen. Now we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. 2-2. Philippians 2:2. All right, Romans chapter 15, verse 6. All right, go ahead. So hopefully you're starting to see a theme, or maybe one particular word. The word is one, if you haven't noticed. But there's other forms of it, but that's kind of the theme that we're seeing. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, all right. How about we go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Right, not to do anything different. I heard different doctrines in one of them. So yeah, we want to stay in the common faith. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we're also going to do 14 in there. So Acts chapter 1, 8, and then also 14, chapter 8. All right. Go ahead.
For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
All right, 14. All right, and then also Acts. Let's go to the next day here. We'll do Acts 2:46, and maybe in some versions we'll start with continuing steadfastly with one accord. This will be the last verse that we read. 2:46. Okay. Well, I'll just read my version. It says, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So we read this verse earlier on, but this we read it all together, so they broke it up here. So this is the common theme that we see as being in this one accord. This is what we want to get in today, and this is what the whole morning devotional was on, was about getting into this one accord. So the title of this week's morning devotional was The Increase of Christ for the Increase and Spread of the Church through the One Accord with Prayer, the Spirit, the Word, and the Homes. So we want to see that there's the increase of Christ and spread of the church. So in the past weeks, we talked a lot about the increase of Christ, not just in number, right? That's pretty easy to see, that we see that the more we preach the gospel, you know, at Rutgers, maybe your classmate, you share with him, and you receive Christ as a Savior, there's an increase, right? Because now there's another believer in Christ, in the body of Christ. But we also want to see that Christ wants to actually grow within us. He wants to not just remain in our human spirit, but he wants to actually come into our soul. So he wants to come into Brian here. And when Brian has certain thoughts, God actually wants to help him with some of his thoughts, in a sense. So I know when I was a young believer, I like certain things, and some things were actually not that holy or proper or things like that. But the more I spent time with the Lord, I think the more my mind was being renewed. And so a lot of these things that I used to like to do, especially when I was a freshman in college, that was quite an interesting time in my life. But my mind was being renewed because I spent time with some other friends, some other Christians. I spent time in their home. And this was a way that my mind was able to be renewed. And now I can actually say I have the same mind in some respects with the Lord, with our Savior Christ, because he has saturated me. He has grown in me. And this is and how we do this practically is just by spending time with him. Having a conversation, praying in the morning, reading your word, singing. Psalming, like I said earlier, these are different ways that we can spend time with the Lord. So this is the way that Christ can grow in us. But for this increase to happen as a whole, as a congregation, we need to be in one accord. And to be one accord is difficult. It is very difficult. We can say we're one accord in a business meeting. It's kind of like man-made one accord, right? I agree with you after we battle it out, and you know, I have my way of doing some marketing, and you have your way, and then you kind of really don't agree, but you're kind of making a compromise. That's right. Really what's happening most of the time. You're making a compromise. Right. And in the body of Christ, we're not here to make compromises. What we're here to do is actually to be in one accord. So how is that done? We're all human beings. I have my opinions. Brother Tom has his opinions. Kyle has his opinion, Sergio has his opinion, Shepherd, oh man, he got a lot of opinions. JP, probably even worse. He's probably the worst opinionated person, no, I'm kidding. But we all have a lot of opinions, actually, really the truth right here. If you know me, I have my opinions. So how do we deal with this? How do we become in one accord? And the way is to drop our opinions and just to focus on Christ.
Yes.
If we see Christ, and when we're trying to do something practical, and we're trying to like share the gospel or arrange a barbecue or do this or that, you know, if we just come to the Lord before we do this thing, and we say, Lord, I just want to be one with you. I just want to give you this service, this thing, that we are able to be in one accord with the Lord.
Yeah.
So this is really what we want to focus on. We want to focus on a term you might have never heard. It's called God's economy. So God's economy, in essence, is just really God becoming a man, this man Jesus Christ. And this man Jesus Christ died for our sins, right? He died for our sins, but he didn't just die just to remain on there and shed his blood for you, but he died so that he could become the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit in particular. That's what the phrase in the Bible says, the life-giving Spirit. And he wants to enter into us. So when Daniel prayed, right, you prayed to receive the Lord probably a while back, right? And God came into you. And now he resides in you. That's why you are now a son of God.
Yeah.
This is why we like to call each other brothers and sisters. You might have not also heard that term. I like to call him my brother, even though a little different color skin than me, different eye shade, different hair, kind of that Asian hair. Well, a lot different than my hair. I got curly hair. You got way different hair than me. I probably can't do a lot of things. But we're brothers. We're also very different looking, but we're brothers because we have God in us. So this is what we like to call each other brothers and sisters. And also a terminology you might hear as a collective group of brothers and sisters is saints. So we're not talking about like the guy on a building like St. Peter or something like that. Not that. Actually, in the Bible, saints are all the believers. So this is something that we want to, collectively, we want to be saints in one accord.
Yeah.
This is in one of the songs that we sang earlier. So the saints in one accord. But so this is in God's economy. We just focus on this person of Christ. So really, if you want to really distill what the economy of God is, it's just a person. It's the person of Christ. That's all we want to focus on. If you are looking to Christ and you're focused on Christ, then we can truly be in one accord. That means our soul. That means our mind. That means all these things that humanly it's impossible. It's impossible to be in one accord. But when we are in our spirit, and when we are focused and are looking to God and looking to Christ our Savior, we can enter into this one accord. And when we enter into this one accord, something is able to come forth from the earth.
Right.
And that is called the one new man.
Yeah.
The one new man in the Bible is the body of Christ. So as believers, we make up the body of Christ, right? We're actually just a very small part of it here in this gathering. Even in this building, we're only one third because there's two other meetings going on, right? Even though they're speaking in Chinese, we're still in the same body of Christ. And when we are in this one accord, this one new man is able to be produced. And this is what God is after. God is actually after this one new man. This is what we're doing as Christians. Our goal is actually to bring forth this one new man. Because when this one new man is fully mature, fully grown, and Christ has, grown in all of us to a certain extent of what God wants, the Lord is able to come back. So this is the coming back of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is something that we want to see. This is what this whole morning revival or this morning devotional was on. It's about being in this oneness. So there's a word that actually in the very first supportive part of this morning devotional, it emphasized on a word called homo thumadon, the Greek word. So homo thumadon. So it comes from homo, which means same, and thumos means mind, will, purpose. That's what I was talking about earlier, right? If we're in one accord, homo thumadon doesn't mean just we kind of agree. It actually means in our mind, our will, and our purpose. So this is like our soul. This is the type of one accord that was spoken of in the Bible. And if we're in this one accord, it actually talks about it's the master key. So if we have this one accord, it's the master key of gaining the increase. So this is, we want the increase in us, we want the increase in the church, and we need to really strive together for this one accord. This one accord is so crucial. But it's a collective effort, you know. We can't just do this on ourselves, striving together by ourselves. It's actually a race that we're running together. You know, if John is like trips, JT over here trips, I need to pick him up. We're pursuing together. This is a pursuit that we're doing together to enter into this one accord. So I think you might have heard of maybe the term revivals. A lot of times over church history, there's been revivals. There's a revival that I know of in Los Angeles. They touched something. They touched something almost, I don't know, magical or something. But this, what it is the spirit. This is what they touched. They touched the spirit, and they were in this one accord. They, you know, there were so many different types of people. You know, there was probably some. I know actually for a fact, because my father was in part of this revival. So my father at that time was a gardener, just young buck, just trying to make a living, starting a gardening business. And now he's an accountant. Quite a different change of career. But at that time in his life, he was just a simple guy. He just was living a gardener life, doing some gardening, and went to church. But then the people that would pick him up were like, you know, engineers working for like Lockheed Martin and, you know, all doing all this stuff. You know, totally different education, totally different lifestyles, totally different everything. But they were in this one accord because they were touching the spirit. When they came together, my dad told me all these crazy stories. They like go in the van together and share the gospel. Like they had these gospel sticks. They had this long stick and they paperclip, they taped up a paperclip at the end of it, and they would stop at the stoplight, and they would all look over, and they just like, and they would tell them, look out your window, and then they just put a gospel track on their head, and, like, hey. And the person would grab it. This is what they did. They were a little crazy back then. And then they all get in a van. That's what they would do, like this is the purpose of going out at night. Instead of like going out at night like in Rutgers, it's probably a little crazier in a different way. They would just get a van, fill the van as soon as they got out of the stoplight, they'd all get out of the car and then run and they'd go and hand out gospel tracts on the trains. Probably don't do that, it's dangerous. But the reason they were on fire is because they touched the spirit.
Yeah.
And this is what we want to touch. We want to touch the spirit. We want to be on fire like that, and we want to have this revival here in Piscataway or in the New Brunswick area. We need to touch the spirit. This is the most important thing. And the way to touch the spirit is to just look at this one lovely person, this lovely person of Christ. This lovely person of Christ died for us. He's wooing us. Man. I don't know if my wife, I mean, you don't need to answer, but if she died for me, that would be pretty nice, right? I would die for her. I don't know if she'd die for me. I think she would. I think she would, but I'm not going to make her answer. But that's what God did. That's how he woos us. He didn't just woo us just like in a shallow way. He said, Perry, you're a sinner. You've done so many bad things, but guess what? I love you. And he died for you. This is how Christ woos us. This is how Christ gained us. And this is what Christ is after. Christ is after just spending, he wants us to spend time with him. He doesn't want us just to sit in our chair. That's why we like to be vocal. How lame would, if you went on a date with a girl and you sat there. It's good. Then you went home? That would be a lame date. That would be horrible. Right? If, I don't think my wife would have married me if I went on a date with her and I just sort of looked like that. No. I was very popular. I dated her well and I won her, so that's it. So, but that's what God is doing. He doesn't want you to just be silent with him and sit there and be quiet. God wants you to talk to him. God wants to have conversations with you. You know, I told someone the other day, you know, God even wants, if you're upset, you can tell God you hate him. Be like, God, I'm so mad at you right now. Why did you put me in this tough situation? Why all this? This is a real conversation. That's being real. When I'm real with my wife, we get in an argument. And then, you know, we have to have a little forgiveness later. She's way better at forgiving. I'm pretty bad at it. But this is being real with God. It's telling him how you feel. Speak to him. whatever it is. Sometimes we have this like religious thought of how we have to pray or something like that. Actually, in the Bible, there's none of that. So let's see. I wanted to get into some verses actually here. Let's get into. Actually, I'm going to read a passage real quick. I'm going to read a passage in Matthew 17. You know, if you want to follow along, go ahead. If not, I'm just going to read this passage. It's Matthew 17. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain privately. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you are willing, I will make three tents here. One for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my son, the beloved, in whom I found my delight. Hear him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their face, and they were greatly frightened. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Arise, and do not be afraid." So the reason I read this passage is, a lot of times when we're trying to be in one accord with the Lord, we have a lot of distractions. Even in church, a lot of times, you know, I get distracted sometimes. I'm trying to help out on the campus. I do campus ministry, right? And there's so many things, you know, we're trying to plan for that. We're trying to get ready for a Bible study. We're trying to, like, do, like, ice cream thing. And these are all, you know, they're important because we want to get to know each other. We're human beings, and we need to like each other and look at each other's faces and all this. But those aren't important things. The important thing is Christ. So the same thing was going on here, right? Jesus was transfigured. This is an amazing thing. But guess what? There's Moses and Elijah. And they're like, oh my God. This is awesome. Moses, Elijah, I'm going to make tents for them too. But God was saying, and then they went away. God was saying, no, the focus is Christ, not Moses, not Elijah. These were some distractions to them. They were getting excited. I mean, I'd be pretty excited if I saw Moses and Elijah too, I admit. That'd be pretty cool, right? But that's a distraction. We want to focus on the person of Christ.
Yes.
You know, another example of the person that spoke this is if you look at a big portrait, you know, a beautiful portrait, maybe one of those Asian portraits, you know, they're really long. I think the longest portrait is a Chinese portrait, right? Is it in Taiwan or China?
Taiwan.
It's the longest one. It's the longest portrait. So there's all sorts of, it's a beautiful scenery. It's probably as long as this whole wall, maybe longer. But there's all sorts of things. There's trees. Maybe there's like a little bear in it. Probably not because it's a Chinese painting. But there's probably all sorts of animals. Maybe a bird. Maybe a monkey. All sorts of things. But the main animal you want to see is a tiger. The tiger in the picture, that's the main animal. But there's a lot of distractions in the picture. You're like, maybe you're like, oh, look at that nice little bird over there. But the tiger right here. Huh, that's cool. But the main thing is the tiger. The artist made this huge painting with the scenery and background and everything. Was to see the tiger. A lot of times, that's what happens to us in the Bible. The Bible is a beautiful portrait of what God has done for us. From Genesis to Revelation, a beautiful portrait. It's actually, if you want to discuss, come to my house sometime, it's actually a big, long love story. It's a long love story. And it's awesome. But that's another time. So it's this big, long story. And the focus is Christ. The Old Testament, they were prophesying. Everything that they were talking about was Christ, the Messiah. And the New Testament, that's the whole focus. Paul and all the disciples, all they cared about was Christ. Sometimes they got distracted, like here. Right? Sometimes they got distracted and went back to fishing. They got distracted. We get distracted. We get distracted with school. We get distracted with, you know, our families. We get distracted by so many things. But, you know, it's normal to be distracted, but it's good to come back to Christ.
Amen.
And this is really what again, the focus, if we want to be in this one accord, we always have to come back to the person of Christ. And so this is a good section here that we can see here. And if we think of any, and a lot of times when we're distracted, we have different thoughts. And when we have different thoughts, you might have read in some of these verses, if you remember, that different thoughts can cause division, it can cause strife. A lot of times these different thoughts break up churches. Churches break up because they have different thoughts. Because they're not focused on the Christ. You know, maybe Shepherd believes in sprinkling, and maybe I believe in fully immersion and baptism. Guess what? The Bible doesn't focus on that. It actually doesn't talk too much about baptism. I would say, but usually the Bible does talk about full immersion mostly, so a lot of people do full immersion baptism. But if Shepherd decides that, I'm not buying it, I'm still going to do the sprinkling, it doesn't mean I can't fellowship with Shepherd because he does sprinkling. No. And maybe Benjamin, he really likes to like psalm. And I've only been to one church that psalm. I'm going to still have fellowship with him just because he likes to like psalm a lot. These things shouldn't divide the body of Christ. And so many times, it's so sad, churches and groups break because of these minor details. Because of the monkey in the picture. Because of the bird in the picture. Because they're not focusing on the tiger. The tiger is Christ. This is what we want to focus on. Christ, Christ, Christ. This is what brings us into this one accord. This is what brings blessing to the church. Yeah. And if you want the blessing, you just need to be in this one accord. Yeah. You just need to be in God. With God is in Christ, right?
Yes.
And Christ, as the Spirit, is bringing the increase to the church.
Right.
So this is an overall kind of picture, or maybe not the word picture. This is an overall an overview of this morning devotional this week. And maybe we could now open the time to anyone else that would like to speak a little bit. We're going to try to really end in the next 15 minutes. And so if you have anything to share, maybe keep it to a minute and 30 seconds. And maybe the person on the piano could help us go.
Amen.
So kind of help us end our time.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, and we're going to see about two mysteries today. I'm going to share about the mystery. I'm not a funny brother. I just want to read Ephesians. Now, there are two mysteries on the earth. I mean, the God gave us, right? It's the mystery of God. When I came to this ministry, I didn't know about it. I'm actually a Catholic born. I also meet with Presbyterians, with Baptists. They're all my brothers. I still see them sometimes, pray with them. They're all my brothers. The Lord loves everybody. Now, but two things that I learned when I came here is about these two mysteries. Now, one is the mystery of God, and one is the mystery of Christ. Now, what is the mystery of God? Well, most of them know what's the mystery of God. The mystery of God is Christ. Now, why Christ is the mystery of God? Because Christ can get into man. And Christ has shown us the Father. Now, how can Christ can get into man? Now, the mystery of Christ, what is the mystery of Christ? The mystery of Christ is, we are the mystery of Christ. The church, the body, right? These two mysteries are great. These mysteries are great. When I came to see these two mysteries, I said, why? I said, I've been in church since I was 5, 10, along with my dad. I never heard about this. So that's when it came. Then when later on, when I saw a brother and one making three circles about that, you know, in Thessalon, I said, actually, the mystery, you can verify this, but the mystery of God is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. What he says, Paul, to the Colossians, that their hearts might be comforted, he's turning to the Colossians, comforted that they be knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God. Now, who's the mystery of God? It's Christ. Now, in Ephesians, when you go to Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says to the Ephesians that by revelation, the revelation was given to Paul. So Paul, you know who was Paul, right? It was Saul. He hated the church. So the Lord actually turned him around. And I always tell my students when I'm talking to them, why God had to choose a person who hates the believers? Do you know that? Because he could choose Peter, John, but he chose Paul. And then when I see the scripture, he chose Paul because Paul said, I'm going to exterminate the believers. Paul was a man who said, I'm going to finish them. So Jesus Christ turned him around. His name was Saul, and now he's Paul. And he needed a man like him. That's what the Lord needs with us. A man like Paul, that we go and can preach the gospel. Okay, in Ephesians, he says, in Ephesians says that by revelation, this is the mystery of Christ given to Paul, that by revelation, the mystery was made known to me, to Paul, as I have written freely in brief, by which, in reading it, you can perceive my understanding, the mystery of Christ. So Christ, Paul writes most of the New Testament, and shows the mystery of Christ. So now it's clear, the mystery of God is Christ, and the mystery of Christ is the mystery we are. Now, but the biggest thing when I came to the ministry is when I saw the circle, and Thessalonians says that we are three parts, right? Flesh, body, and spirit, soul. Now, excuse me, but I had to finish this, okay? And so, when I received that spirit, when I received the Lord, my spirit, for many years, I lack him up. Because I still want to sin. I still want to do my own thing, my own things. But when I came to the ministry with the prayers of these brothers, and they were praying for me, as they prayed for me, and as I hear the word, then I realized that the spirit that I received from the Lord had to come out and saturate my soul. And when my soul, which has my mind, my emotion, and will, when the spirit is strengthened with the Lord, with Christ, then it can really control my soul. Then I realize that that's what I need, to read the word every morning. If I read the word every morning, then plant the word of Christ, the Lord, in my spirit, will actually control my soul. And God will be able to deal with all the things in the world. I have a lot of tribulations. I have a lot of problems at work. I have a lot of, you know, temptations. You know, you have a lot of temptations. But that's why I read my word, the word every morning. So the Lord strengthen my spirit and be able to control my soul. And I'm so happy when I read the word for 5 minutes. And then my soul, I see so happy. I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Now I can go out and deal with the world. But the Lord gives me the strength and the spirit. So it's very important to read the word every morning. Every morning to strengthen your spirit. So your soul will be controlled by the word.
If we could all please respect the piano, because if we don't, then we've got less people to share. So it's tough for her, because she has to be the one going ding, 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 ding to you. So please just respect the piano. Thank you.
I really enjoyed the topic of the sequence on the one of chord. And it shows us, actually, this is one sentence in here that says, the one accord is the masterpiece of every blessing in the New Testament. And what we see is like this principle in the Bible that God blesses the oneness. And like unity and oneness is something that's very lacking in Christianity today. Like a lot of Christians are divided over a lot of different things. But that's why when we choose to be one with one another and with the Lord, actually the Lord is able to grant us all the spiritual blessings that we're talked about in the New Testament. And so, like, I think we all want that, but the question is, like, how do you do that, right? Like, practically, what does it mean to be in oneness? What does it mean to be one with the believers? What does it mean to be in the one accord? And I just enjoyed that, like, it's not like, okay, everybody's currently present in this room, we're going to just try to, like, get to know each other, and we're going to try to be one, and, like, okay, maybe, like, you know, John really likes basketball, so now I'm going to like basketball, and like, you know, Brian really likes cars, now I have to like cars, and like, we all just try to like get to know each other and like fit in with each other. Actually, the oneness is us being one with Christ.
Yeah,
and so we're all one with each other because we're the same as Christ.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that actually the way to do that, and it was kind of brought out this week, is that we need to spend time with the Lord. Kind of like the more time you spend with a person, the more like them you are, right? So with a lot of our friends, the more time you spend with them, the more you think like them, the more you talk like them, the more your mannerisms are the same. So I just enjoy that we also need to spend time with the Lord in the morning.
Amen.
The same as He is.
Yeah.
And it was talking about Mary and Martha, and that Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to His word, and then it said Martha was being drawn about and anxious about serving, right? And then she went to Jesus and was like, why don't you tell Mary to come and help me, right? And then when the Lord responded, He said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but there is need of one thing, for Mary has chosen the good part,
right,
which shall not be taken away from her. So I just appreciate it, you know, what everybody's been saying this week, to learn how to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to His word, right? And then when that happens, then we know His heart, right? And when we know His heart, then we can speak the same thing. And anyway, I was just thinking of, you know, the one accord, you know, my husband and I, sometimes there's not one accord in our marriage, right? And he'll say something, and then I'll say something, and then we will agree, but you know, the Greek word one of it, like the same will, same mind, same heart, you know, it's not necessarily the same, right? And so I appreciate it. There was some in Ellen that just said, you know, before you speak, you should ask yourself, who is speaking? Am I speaking, or is Christ speaking?
Yeah.
And so many times I hear that, I don't even ask myself that question, I just respond right away, so that I know that's me speaking, right? But when we spend time with the Lord, spend time in His Word, then, you know, sometimes we need to cover, we'll say something, and then right before I respond, there's like a, oh, maybe you shouldn't say that, right? And so I just appreciate it. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to know Him, love Him, and then we can be in one accord.
The passage that John shared also really touched me, because sometimes we're distracted by many things, but one thing we can do, not only just listening to the Lord, but as we spend time with the Lord, you know, I think one thing we can do is we need to have our eyes unveiled so that we may really see Christ only. And in the passage that John brought up, actually, you know, as the disciple Peter was speaking, he says, while he was speaking, you know, there's a voice from the heaven that tells that spoke, saying, you know, this is my son, right? Hear him, my beloved, hear him. And then after that, you know, the disciples turn around, and what happened was this: was they saw Jesus, no one except Jesus only. And sometimes, yes, we hear something, but maybe we are seeing some different things, but really, when our eyes see only one thing, you know, our being can be focused on the Lord. And as we spend time with Him, hopefully the Lord will shine the light, will remove the veil, so that we will see Him alone.
Amen.
And this is what really helps us. This will really help us to be one, not just with the Lord, but one with one another.
Amen.
So may we see Jesus only.
Amen.
I think oneness is probably one of the rarest commodity on earth.
Yeah.
All of humanity is looking for oneness. They think they could find oneness in creating an entity called the United Nations. But we all know it's just coming together trying to make compromises, like our brother was sharing. That is not oneness. Even among Christians, we need to ask ourselves, is there oneness? We're not talking about unity. We're not talking about, hey, let's meet at the middle ground. But, you know what oneness really is? I was really appreciating these verses. This is in John 17, 21 and 22. I'll read them to you all. That they all may be one. This is the Lord Jesus praying.
Yes.
He's praying for all the believers, that they all may be one.
Amen.
Even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you.
Yes.
That they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Amen.
You know what oneness is? Oneness is a person. It's the person of the triune God.
Amen.
It's the Father in the Son, and the Son in the Father expressed as a Spirit. You know, if you read the Gospels and you see the Lord, the way that the Lord lived, He was so one with the Father.
Amen.
You want to see oneness? Read the Gospels. The words, this is the Lord speaking. He mentioned, the words that I speak, I don't speak from myself, but I speak from the Father. Everything that the Lord did, right, was one with the Father.
Amen.
And so, in application today, how can we be one? We need the Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Spirit is the consummation of the triune God. Meaning that God has went through this process, right? He is now the Spirit.
Amen.
And when we touch the Spirit, when we enjoy the Spirit, when we're praying in Spirit, right? That verse in Ephesians, we need to be diligent to keep the oneness. By what? How? It's through the Spirit as the uniting bond of peace.
Amen.
Right? When the Spirit passes each and every one of us, there is oneness, right? And so, brothers and sisters, we need the Spirit.
Amen.
We need to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
We need to be persons of the Spirit, right? So that our focus can just be on Christ and Christ alone, and that really that this prayer, right, that the Lord prayed can be answered, right, on the earth today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the increase of the life and for the spread of the church. And as we see, Manison shared that it is impossible to have this increase without one accord. And we see this one accord is naturally, as human beings, we all have different characteristics. And we have different opinions. We have different backgrounds. We all have a different opinions. And we came from different countries. But praise the Lord,
amen,
we all have one life in us, the same life in us.
Yeah.
This life, the only for this life, if we take this life as our life, we take this person as our person, we will have this one accord.
Amen.
And we will have the same interest on this earth. And we see many things brought out that we need to spend time with the Lord.
Yes.
And when we spend time with the Lord, we talk with Him, and we focus our being on Him. We will touch His heart desire. And we will seek the same thing. And also, praise the Lord, today, this one accord can be, we can reach this one accord through prayers, and through the Spirit, and the Word, and the homes. And praise the Lord, may the Lord bring us on, and we need to add one thing, our experience with all of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And also we see this one accord depends absolutely on God's eternal economy. That is, this is the unique person.
Yeah.
That's Christ Himself.
Yes.
So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
When you spend time with this person,
amen,
when you take Him as our person,
amen,
and practice one accord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We could end with some prayer at 12 o'clock. We have a couple things.
I just wanted to share that, I just came back from Shanghai and I'm just so jet lagged. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I was bright, you know, I'm really alert. And I just wanted to share, meet with some Christians in Shanghai, and they're from all the countries, and they're literally from all the countries. I just met a Christian sister from Uzbekistan, but I just really enjoy, all the sharing that you guys don't share, that our focus must be Christ. If our focus like to choose something else,
yeah,
then there's discord.
Yeah.
Then there's, there might be some division. But if our focus is on Christ, we enjoy Christ, we spend time with Christ, and our expression is Christ, then there is that point. I just really enjoy, because, and then all these brothers and sisters from all over the globe, in Shanghai, and we meet, and This brother shared, we're from so many different countries, with so many different characteristics, there's so many different, you know, so many different things. So when we get together and we enjoy that Christ, we're fully in that one.
Amen. We like to hear your voice.
Amen.
Oh, turn to see you.
Amen.
Spend much time in your presence.
Amen.
Oh, truly bring us into this one accord.
Amen.
Even the oneness that you prayed in John 17.
Amen.
That you are in the Father and the Father is in you.
Amen.
Now we're in you and you are in us.
Amen.
Bring us further into the one accord.
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
Oneness of the Spirit.
Amen.
United bond of peace.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, we want to be in one accord.
Amen.
You can do it, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you're still available.
Amen.
Lord, be merciful with us.
Amen.
Always running for us, Lord.
Amen.
Always forgive us, Lord.
Amen.
Make us humble because you are humble.
Amen.
We just like you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, in holiness, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Amen. May we see you and you alone.
Amen.
May we hear you, Lord.
Amen.
Awesome. So we'll just conclude here. Praise the Lord. So if this is your first time, welcome, and please come back next week. We're going to continue to go through the same morning devotional. So if you want to get into it, please let just whoever could be here or you've heard about coming today, let them know. Or next week, prepare something. Anything that you want. Maybe you're going through a Bible reading schedule yourself, and if you enjoyed a verse, you know, please share with us. We'd like to hear everyone share a little bit. So next week we'll do the same thing. Someone will give like a little opening word, and then we'll do like maybe a minute or a minute and a half of people to allow more people to be able to speak, and then someone will just close. You know, so. Amen. Thank you.